Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Our reading this morning is coming from the Gospel of Mark, and it can be found on page 1024 in the Pew Bibles. Mark chapter 10. And I'm going to be reading from verse 1 to 12. Jesus then left that place and went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds of people came to him, and as was his custom, he taught them. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" he replied. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." "It was because your hearts were hardened that Moses wrote you this law," Jesus replied. "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Simon. In our household, we've got into watching various TV dramas. And for a while, we were into the BBC drama The Split. Now, in the second series of this, we see Hannah, a divorce lawyer, meeting a client, Bishop Tony. "You've been married 48 years, Tony, and respectfully, do you really want to do this now? 5 children, 12 grandchildren... it's on my list. Along with bungee jumping from the San Francisco Bridge and climbing Machu Picchu, all of which you can do, but I want to divorce my wife. And God won't mind. God is not my jailer. To each a given free will to decide, and now I want to divorce. It's time. It's number 10 on my bucket list, and I've exhausted the other 9. "You love your wife?" "Yes." "And you have a nice life with her?" "I do." "Then why do you want to leave her now?" "Because I can. Because to do is to dare. I'm not unhappy, but neither do I wake excited about my day, except when I think of divorcing my wife. And then the possibilities seem endless. Haven't you wanted to shake it up a bit? I mean, do you look forward to your day?" Wow. Well, I hope you'll forgive me for opening with this little scene. And I do so not at all to make light of the topic, but just to open up the reality of our world. We live in a world which struggles to put together the dream of personal, individual fulfillment and the permanence of marriage. We live in a world that still wonders if God might have something to say. There might be some moral answers. But we also live in a world in which even bishops might not stick to the script. So what is the answer? When, if at all, should a couple divorce? Why? How does it get to that point? Are there rights and wrongs, or is there just freedom? Does God mind? Well, those, of course, are real questions, and I know they are very personal to many of us in this room. And naturally, as I spent time preparing this week, I've had many of those situations, or at least as far as I know them, in my mind. We're preaching on this subject because we continue today in our series in Mark's Gospel. We're in the thick of Jesus' teaching ministry, and chapter 10, verse 1, it tells us that Jesus left that place where he was. He went into the region of Judea across the Jordan, and again crowds of people came to him, and as was his custom, he taught them. And what he teaches next is on the subject of divorce, and with it his understanding of marriage. Now this is such a big topic, so prominent for both our church and our denomination at the moment. We're actually going to do it in two chunks. So next week, we've got a guest speaker coming, the Reverend Andy Robinson. He's going to speak about what Jesus taught on marriage. He'll also touch on same-sex marriage and singleness. And as we did back in November, there's going to be another chance for Q&A in the center afterwards for those who'd like to explore that further. That's next week. But today, we're going to stick with this particular question that the Pharisees asked. Some Pharisees, verse 2, came and tested him by asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And as Jesus answers, I hope we're going to hear Jesus prophetically and pastorally. Prophetically in the sense that he's going to give us a beautiful but a challenging picture of faithfulness. And pastorally as well, as he ministers to us in the midst of our hurt, our questions, and our struggles about the reality of divorce. And I don't mind sharing with you that I have worried and prayed about this message quite a bit this week, quite a lot more than usual. And my worries are this, that the prophetic will reach those who frankly just need to hear comfort and grace, and they will feel condemned. And equally, I'm worried that we might be so wary of needing to preach grace that actually we're going to soft pedal Jesus' challenge. So I believe in the Holy Spirit. I pray that the Lord ministers to each of us as we need today. So here are my two points. And the first one is from verse 9. It's there in the passage if you need it. Mark chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. Do open it up if you want to follow along. Verse 9 says, what God has joined together, let no one separate. That's my first point. And secondly, and for this, I'm going to be looking elsewhere in Scripture. Where it has been separated, let us look to Jesus. What God has joined together, let no one separate. But where it has been separated, look to Jesus. And between those two, I'm going to include some of the exceptional circumstances where I believe Scripture does indicate that divorce is nevertheless an appropriate course of action, although that's not outlined here in Mark's Gospel. So let's go for that first point. What God has joined together, let no one separate. So the Pharisees ask, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And Jesus replies, verse 3, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. And basically, they're right. Divorce was a hot topic in Jesus' day, but the rabbis disagreed on their interpretation of Moses' laws. This reference here is probably talking about Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 to 4. It does say a man could divorce his wife. What it says specifically in our English translations, we have it like this, if he finds something indecent about her. But the rabbis differed about what that actually meant. What does it cover? So at one end of the spectrum, you had the school of Shammai. They interpreted this very conservatively. You could divorce, but only if someone had been unfaithful. And at the other end of the spectrum, you had the school of Hillel. And they were much more elastic. There was one rabbi, Rabbi Akiba, who even said that a man could divorce his wife if she had only ruined his dinner or if he noticed someone who he thought was more beautiful. One feels Rabbi Akiba might have benefited from a short, sharp encounter with a frying pan. So basically, this was a theological minefield. And as verse 2 says, the Pharisees, they were not just asking the question, they were trying to test Jesus. Perhaps we can get him to slip up on his knowledge, they thought. But on top of that, divorce was politically loaded too. If you remember, it was the issue that got John the Baptist killed. John the Baptist had criticized King Herod for divorcing his first wife in order to marry Herodias. And in fact, Herodias had also divorced her first husband to marry Herod. And so extraordinarily, Herodias had ended up being simultaneously Herod's wife, his sister-in-law, and his niece all together. And you can spend a great deal of time on the internet later working out how that can be true if you want. But this was the kind of world they were living in. And so what the Pharisees thought, let's see if we can get Jesus to wade into that controversy. And perhaps like John the Baptist, Herod will finish him off as well. So that's in the background. But Jesus won't be drawn. He won't be drawn into the politics, and he won't be drawn into reading scripture in a way that's just looking for loopholes. So he says this surprising thing in verse 5. He says, it was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law. It's because your hearts were hard. And then he goes, but at the beginning, and so he goes on with his teaching. So he reframes the question. He says, look, you're asking this question with a hard heart. You're asking, you know, what are the limits? What can I get away with? And I, Jesus, am telling you, look, first, you need to get back to the heart of God's desire. It's not the only time Jesus did this. And before we zoom into the specifics on this particular issue, let's just spend a moment thinking about that. That may be a word for you this morning. It could be any area of life. Have we fallen into hard-hearted thinking? Have we fallen into that sort of, it's like tax accounting thinking, and apologies to any accountants here. But, you know, I'm a Christian, which means basically I can do whatever I like, as long as it's not outside of the law. But Christ is not looking for loophole discoverers. He's looking for disciples. He wants people who are not asking, can I get away with this? But actually, what is the heart of God? What is the center of his will, and how can I follow it? And that's a challenge for all of us, isn't it? Okay, but let's get to the teaching on divorce itself. So Jesus not unexpectedly goes back to Moses, but he doesn't take them to the Moses they were thinking of. He quotes the first book of Moses, Genesis, the blueprint of creation, verse 6. He says, at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. So in simple terms, to answer the question, is divorce lawful? First of all, Jesus says no. Because divorce is breaking up what shouldn't be broken. In marriage, two have become one, and that oneness is expressed in the deep intimacy of sexual union. In marriage, two people become one flesh. And on top of it, this union matters because it's God's doing. God has joined them together. And so for those reasons, Jesus says, let no one separate them. So God's intention for marriage is for it to be lifelong. That is beautiful. It is, of course, costly. And there may be many people here today who know that by experience. And yet, if you've been faithful in marriage, that is not lost on the Lord. Actually, that is a beautiful reflection of his heart. And there are others here this morning, some single, some married, who have given themselves tirelessly to supporting other people's marriage, to keeping them together. Perhaps you've had the courage to ask questions of a married couple that bring their struggles out into the open so that they can actually get out of the rut that they're stuck in. Or perhaps you've offered to take the kids for an evening or a weekend so a couple can just talk to each other properly for longer than about 3 seconds again. Or perhaps you've had the compassion just to offer time and interest in someone's life as they're starting out in marriage. Not because there's any great sign of difficulty, but because you know They now know you're there if they ever need it. I've had various people help me and Emily greatly in our marriage. And the example I'm going to give you is going to sound very silly, but it really had an impact. This came from someone after 60 years of marriage, in his marriage. The guy was a vicar, and he and his wife, they had a beautiful relationship, certainly as far as we could see. But he told me at some point that they'd had such a shocking argument, and he got so furious, he'd walked out of the house, this was the evening, and he hadn't returned until the morning. Now, just to be clear, I'm not advocating this is a particularly good way of addressing your conflicts. But you know, sometimes the greatest help that we can offer someone in marriage is just being honest and saying, I have really blown it. And then someone else sees that and hears it and thinks, and yet there was another day. And yet you were able to start again the next day. And that can be a great encouragement, just to be honest about some of the struggles there are in marriage. What God has joined together, let no one separate. Now, all of that is behind what there is in the hardest part and the most challenging part of this passage for us, verses 10, 11, and 12. When they're in the house again, the disciples ask Jesus about it, and he's now going to teach them about remarriage. He answered, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And then he says the opposite. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery. And actually, then that's the end of this section in Mark's gospel. That's all he teaches on divorce. So we think, well, is that it? And I hasten to add, it's not actually the full biblical picture. We're going to come on to actually what else we might find elsewhere in the scriptures in a moment. But before we do that, we do need to just underline this message, because it's not what you're going to hear. If somehow our culture or our hearts lead us to thinking of divorce as a no-cost way forward or a convenient solution to pursue our own life goals or something we owe ourselves as a person because the other individual is cramping our style, or look, even if we don't believe those voices, let's be honest, we're going to hear them at some point. If that's what we're hearing, even if that voice makes its way out into the open in the middle of a marital argument, and one or other of you says that kind of thing, that voice, that divorce is an easy solution, that is not the voice of God. He says, what I have joined together, let no one separate. Now, for many centuries, up to the 1950s actually, every major denomination held basically to some version of that view in its entirety that I have explained. So there was no such thing as remarriage in church after divorce, and there are still many Christians today, not least the Catholic Church, who would basically want to put the full stop there. The difficulty with that position, as I see it, biblically, is that elsewhere in the Bible, including in the New Testament, there are some clear exceptions. Now, forgive me for what I'm about to do, but basically I have to kind of say all of this. So just stick with me, bring me your best concentration. I'm going to give you a whistle-stop tour here. Okay, here is the first exception. It's from Matthew 19, where Jesus gives almost exactly the same teaching, but with one vital exception. You can see it in red on the screen. You see it's basically the same teaching, but there's an extra bit. And it says in Matthew 19, verse 9, I tell you, anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. Exactly the same as in Mark, with the exception. Now, note, the exception is an exception. It's not a command. It doesn't mean that unfaithfulness must mean divorce. It may mean, but that is a really significant exception. Jesus recognizes the need for justice and protection for the vulnerable, even as he applies God's will for marriage. So if a husband or wife has an affair and then decides to go and live with that other person, it would be totally unjust, wouldn't it, to say to the remaining partner, you're still bound. But that's actually not the only instance of an exception in the New Testament. Here is 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Have a look at verse 12. If any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she's willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. Now, you've got to do a bit of logic thinking here. Let me spin that round for you. If we put it in the opposite way around, what he's saying is, look, if you get married, you should not divorce. But let's say neither of you were believers when you married, and then one of you comes to faith, but the other partner doesn't, and actually they just think, I don't really want to be with you anymore. They want to end the marriage. Well, then the other partner is free to end it. They don't have to go through the whole of the rest of their life seeking reconciliation, trying to get back in with someone who has no interest in staying with them and who doesn't share their faith, their starting point. They're free to marry again. Now, there are other places as well in the New Testament where there are some biblical objections to this question that, you know, marriage has no, divorce, has there are no exceptions to Jesus' teaching. And on top of the more straightforward biblical objections, there are questions that are indirectly raised from Scripture. So, for example, what if none of the conditions that Scripture mentions are met for divorce, but maintaining a marriage will result in some other evil that Scripture condemns? So, for example, if a partner or even a whole family might be subjected to physical violence, well, then we have to work out, how does one evil outweigh another? It's not an easy thing to do. And of course, there is much more here that we might say than we have time for today. Now, if you'd like to think about these things in more detail, but you want to know what the Scriptures teach, I can recommend Issues Facing Christians Today. It's a book that is definitely not today anymore because it's from about 1984, but it's still brilliant. It's by John Stott, and he has a great little chapter on this. And of course, if you'd like to talk to me or one of the team, we'd love to discuss, offer pastoral support. Let me just say one last thing before I move on, just so that you're clear what our practice here is at Emmanuel. I'm a Church of England minister, and both John Featherstone and I, we officiate at weddings on the basis that they are always undertaken as solemn, public, lifelong covenants between men and women. That's what we think we're doing. The church gives us freedom of conscience on the remarriage of divorcees, so we're allowed to, and we are both prepared to remarry divorcees in certain exceptional circumstances, such as when the previous marriage has broken down because of the unfaithfulness by another partner, or indeed desertion, including abuse. There's much more we could say on that, but we would always want to take time to understand the situation before making any decision. And of course, whatever your past situation or whatever the complexities, we would always be committed to offering pastoral care to anyone in our congregation. What God has joined together, let no one separate. But I don't want to stop there. I just want to briefly, as I close, speak to those situations when divorce happens for all sorts of other reasons. Perhaps reasons that Jesus doesn't allow, or when, frankly, and let's be honest, this is often the case, when it's all just a bit of a mess, and who knows, frankly, who's done what. Jesus says, what God has joined together, let no one separate. But when it has been separated, I want to say, look to Jesus. Let me just illustrate this for a moment and why this is so necessary. I could have told a story today about a Christian couple and their marriage. It all started well, but after a few years of marriage, one of them was unfaithful. The other one felt they could end it, but wanted the marriage to continue. But they were deeply hurt, so they decided, look, what's going to happen is we're going to have a divorce, and then we're going to remarry. It's going to be a total reset. That was a hard, courageous thing to do. And actually, that's what happens, true story. They both agreed to this, they remarried. And if I told this story not so very long ago, that would have been the end of the story. But since then, that story has changed. This person has been unfaithful again. That's just one version of a really, really complex range of possibilities that can face us. And we wonder, what do we do now? Many of us carry stories of hurt around divorce. We may carry a sense of failure, shame, guilt. Sometimes that is a reflection of mistakes that we have made. Often it's totally undeserved, but we just can't shake it off. And we can't go back. We long to go forward, but we really struggle to do so. And let's be honest, sometimes the church hasn't helped, just made it worse. So I want to leave you with the same Jesus we've heard teaching us in Mark 10, but in another moment. It's midday in the baking hot Mediterranean sunshine, and we're standing at Jacob's well in Samaritan country. And Jesus is asking for a drink. It's a drink from a person, woman, at the well. And she is not a neat, life-sorted law keeper. She is a woman who is only there at that time because her community are ashamed of her. She is a 5-time divorcee. She's on to her 6th husband. And as far as her sex life goes, I think it's safe to say she hasn't paid too much attention to the finer points of Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 to 4. And Jesus knows all of this. And yet, when we read the story, it's in John chapter 4, we see he is so obviously for her. He doesn't just tolerate her presence. He has time for her. He takes an interest in her story. He even asks her for a drink. And he spends time making clear that a relationship with him is available to her as well. It's not like, she's messed it up one too many times because of this divorce thing. And actually what happens next is extraordinary. She has this amazing encounter with Jesus. And then he sends her off to go and tell her friends. And she's recorded in scripture as one of Jesus' great evangelists. She's used really powerfully by God in the spread of the kingdom. Now, there are going to be many experiences of marital separation in our church. Whatever they are, I want us to close remembering that we have a Savior full of grace, a Savior of second chances, and a third chances, and a fourth chances, and a fifth chances, and of 6th chances. We know that objectively. No mistake is too great for his mercy. And every one of us needs it. You know, we all go wrong. For some of us, it's very public. It's there as soon as you start explaining to people what your life circumstances are. But for all of us, there are places where we have walked away from the Lord and our lives are in a mess. And at the cross, the ground is level, isn't it? We all stand in need of God's mercy and we receive it from our wonderful, loving Lord Jesus. So when it has been separated, when whatever else has gone wrong, look to him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would teach us. We want to be disciples at your feet. We know that you have wisdom beyond our wisdom, that you have understanding beyond ours. And Lord, we long also for your Holy Spirit to enable us and equip us to do the things that we often think we cannot do, and yet that we so wish to in obedience to you. And at the same time, Lord, we come to you with a history behind us, which for none of us is simple, and for all of us has great regret and mistakes in it. And so, Lord, we pray today that you would minister your grace to our lives, that we would receive forgiveness and healing and hope from the past and new strength for the future and the deep assurance of your love for those who put their trust in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.